Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meow Mix, the Carolina Panthers podcast. My name is Steven.
My name is Jerry.
Jerry, welcome back.
Welcome back. I was about to say, we're back.
Yeah, it's been not quite a month, but and honestly, I don't even think we intended on taking this long off.
No, we tried to come back when some of the coaching searches happened, but unfortunately for you and I, our paying jobs kept us busy, and our wives and children kept us busy. So yeah.
It's been a bit of a struggle to find time when we can record separately, let alone together. Like there was just no time. So we finally are able to carve out some time, which just happened to be on the day that the new coach and GM of the Panthers were officially introduced and had press conferences and everything. So we are going to talk all about our thoughts on Dan Morgan and Dave Canales, your new GM and head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
I'm done.
Jerry. You will learn that Jerry and I are a little different, have different feelings about this. I will say, I think both of us needed the week, though, because
I was livid when this first hire was, when Dan Morgan and Canales were hired. I was livid. There is a, because we were going to record it solo, a very heated Jerry unaired episode. I will say that.
One day, maybe we'll release it to the world, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Hopefully it's when it's proving me wrong. And it's
I think that podcast would have been pretty negative overall, honestly. Over the course of the week, you know, personally, I have gotten way more excited and optimistic about both of the hires. Jerry has, I believe, gotten more optimistic, but maybe not.
I was dropped off in the Antarctica. Waters up there. Now I'm, you know.
Now you got a small campfire.
Now I'm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You know, I'm just. There's no real heat, but
right.
It's warmer than Antarctica.
Right. But still, you're probably gonna die. You know, they both had their press conferences together today. They sat at the same table. They sort of went back and forth. So let's talk about the positives first, right?
I wanted to end on the positives, but okay, we could talk about the positives.
I think we should kick it off with the positives because these, for better or worse, these are our guys for the next several years, right? I cannot imagine a scenario. I can't imagine a single scenario where Dave Canales is fired after a single season. I don't care if they go 0-17. He's not going to get fired. David Tepper will not do it.
The only way he does is if he gets in some serious legal trouble and or not thinking he will. I'm just
right. Maybe if he kills someone, but that's like, I mean, as far as football is concerned, I cannot imagine a scenario where he gets fired after a single season. So he will be in our lives, I would say, for at minimum two seasons. Same with Dan Morgan. So what I like, and I think what we both like, because this is something we have talked about, the GM was hired first. The GM helped find the head coach. They have a relationship, a good relationship. They've worked together before. They're on the same page. That I think is very underrated
in
terms of what's been in terms of them.
And what I heard is that the, group that helped with the coaching search and stuff like that, they did a lot of reorganization, or they suggested reorganization from the way that Tepper was doing it, and that's what they said to do. That is one of the key parts that they said, you need to form it more like the San Francisco 49ers did, where, you know, their GM and their coach were, you know, co-workers and worked together and stuff. And that is something I always believe in, and I strongly believe in that.
Sure. And John Lynch was not a popular hire
no
with the San Francisco 49ers. There were a lot of jokes that were being made about him. And then Kyle Shanahan got hired off a complete meltdown in the Super Bowl, the previous season. So none of that was a given, and it has worked out for them. And I forgot to mention that they also hired Brant Tillis from the Chiefs to come in and basically almost be a co-GM, essentially, but a guy who's going to be running the cap side and things like that. Great hire.
I love that. That's my favorite hire. Like, yeah. if you say something wrong about that hire, I don't know what you're thinking he's doing. But he is supposedly a contract guru. He negotiated that Patrick Mahomes, like, huge deal. But you look at that deal now, and it's like, oh, that was a sweet deal for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, had he been hired as the GM, I think I'd have been excited about it, right?
Me like, too.
I think this is even better because he's going to get to focus on his specialty. Dan Morgan will get to focus on his specialty. I think it's going to work out really well. But back to the kind of the dynamic. You know, this is the first time that Tepper has done this, that has hired in this way. And it is the way that it should go. This is the way that successful organizations do it, right?
I agree. I think you get the GM, you get the coach, and you make sure the GM can work with the head coach.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. Now, the other point of this is the two they grabbed is where I lie my questions at. But okay. I do agree with the simple fact that getting them to work together, like this interview today, they really showed that they're going to work great together, I think.
Yeah, they're 100% on the same page. They want the same things. And I think that's also going to be a good way for Tepper to be less involved. He's not going to have to run interference between the two. He's not going to have to put out fires all the time, or
hopefully
he's not going to be able to start fires between the two. Hopefully, you know, I think head coach and GM being 100% on the same page, there's no downside to it. It's going to be great. As long as they're good at their jobs, right? It's going to be great. First time GM, first time head coach. So there's going to be a learning curve for both. But we got Brant Tillis in here that's going to help out with the GM side at least. Yeah. You know, I think Jim Caldwell is still here, former head coach. He's going to be able to help Canales.
I was going to say, so I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're off kilter here because we haven't talked in like a month.
Right. Well, not on Skype or Zoom.
I like the way that Canales talked about Pete Carroll. And that he was there with him for 14 years. You know, I really like that just because I do think Carroll was one of the best coaches I've seen in the NFL in a while and in college. Sure. Yep. And I think he could lean on Carroll in the future by calling him up if he's not in the Seahawks organization. And Carroll is not happy with that organization for forcing him out.
Yeah, I mean, Carroll's not a head coach anymore, so I don't see too much of a conflict of interest. But, you know, who knows? Either way, Canales, where he has been with the Seahawks, a very successful organization for a long time, and then went to Tampa and really did a great job with that offense. I mean, overall, they turned Baker around. He's turned Geno Smith around, and Geno Smith, we saw, you know, kind of had a down season after Canales left, right? Kind of reverted back to some of those Geno things before.
Mm-hmm.
So this hire, this Dave Canales hire specifically, 1,000% a Bryce Young hire, right? Got to bring in a guy who's shown he can take quarterbacks who have underperformed or underachieved and get the best out of them.
Now, am I allowed to start going negative, or am I still biding my time?
Just hold on. Some other things that I liked. I did very much like one of the things about Dan Morgan coming in, he knows the DNA of the Carolina Panthers, right? And just listening to him talk and the passion that he has about bringing back the pride that the city had for the Panthers when he was here and even after he left, you know, through the Cam years. That is so important. You know, Frank Reich kind of had the same thing, but Frank Reich wasn't here through the glory years, right? Dan Morgan was here through some of those glory years. And he was rattling off, you know, Panthers icons and talking about and publicly saying, we don't have those guys on this team. We don't have those kinds of players on this team. We don't have guys who want it bad enough. I love it. I love that he recognizes it. I love that he says it publicly. And to me, we're going to see a lot of changes over this offseason and over next offseason. This team is going to be completely different. For better or worse. Can't be much worse.
My question to Dan right there is, you know, what have you been doing for the past 3 years in that office?
He didn't have, he wasn't in charge.
But he was there. Was he not? Was he sitting there and agreeing with Fitter? Was he constantly arguing it?
No one really asked that question. And I wish that they would. I wish that the question would have been asked, what were the decisions that you disagreed with over the last couple of years? What were the ones that you did agree with? I would have loved for someone to ask that. Unfortunately, they didn't. But, you know, it's different. When you're in the chair, I think it's very different. And I think we're going to see some different decisions.
I hope so. But it sounds like to me that David Tepper hired Dan Morgan out of familiarity. You talk about knowing the Panthers culture and stuff. Like you said, Frank Reich came in saying the same thing last year. He got us all hype. Dan Morgan has been here, and he was part of the problem. But yet, it didn't seem like anybody else really got a real GM shot, as Dan Morgan was interviewing head coaches while he was still being interviewed for that GM spot. Then you hire Dave Canales. The Panthers were the only team to give him an interview for a head coaching job. The only team.
Mm-hmm.
So
this and is we've the, seen to, we've seen the, that be is, successful this before.
This is 2 years in a row that the Panthers hired a coach that no other NFL team decided to interview.
I don't think that means anything.
You mentioned how he turned around Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith had DK Metcalf and TJ Lockett. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield has Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young has Jonathan Mingo and Adam Thielen.
Today, Bryce Young or Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith were also multiple years into their career and had shown nothing substantial before going to Dave Canales. I mean, Baker had some success early, but had really been on a downward spiral.
Now,
Geno had shown no success.
Now, he's only been calling plays for 1 year and an offensive coordinator for 1 year at Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. The Tampa Bay Bucs were 20 average 21 points per game, 18th in the league. Mm-hmm. Let me pull it up here. yards per game, they were ranked. It wasn't that high. It was like 20th. Rushing yards per game, 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Rushing yards per attempt, last.
Mm-hmm.
Passing yards per game, 12th. So, it does not scream to me like this guy is ready to take off. Like, look what Slowik did with receivers who didn't do anything before he got there. He took a rookie and stuff.
Okay. Slowik isn't coaching anywhere. Ben Johnson isn't coaching anywhere. Like they didn't want to take head coaching jobs. Maybe if they wanted to take head coaching jobs, one of those would be the guy. But they didn't want to.
It just seems like such a reach so quickly for him.
It does.
In his interview today, I did like that the way he kept talking about how you have to find what the players do good.
Yes.
And you have to work on that.
Yeah, you didn't let me continue my positives, but that was definitely
one of them. Well, I got tired of sitting here doing nothing because, honestly, these
because
hires
you have,
not...
But you have to, Jerry, you can't... Who knows?
No, I 100%...
Who knows?
I 100%...
With any of these... With Ben
knows?
Johnson.
And I want them to prove me wrong. But to me, these feel like David Tepper yes hires. Neither one of these guys were going to be hired as a GM or head coach anywhere besides Carolina.
I don't think that's maybe true this year.
This year, yes.
Maybe true this year. But Dan Morgan, highly, highly thought of throughout the league.
He was when he came here three years ago. And he still is.
Just because you worked under someone who wasn't good at their job doesn't mean that you're not going to be good at your job. For all we know, Dan Morgan was fighting against every single decision that Scott Fitterer made. We just don't know.
I mean, of course we don't know, but I'm just saying
that, like, question just wasn't asked. And also, Dan Morgan, a very good friend of Scott Fitterer's. So, you know, that could have clouded judgment very easily. I don't know. But I do know that Dan Morgan, what he said, and I believe him, he doesn't seem like a guy who's going to go up there and lie, sounded good. Sounded like they're going to look for players of a certain type, a type that we have had success with here in Carolina before, and that Dave Canales is very open to adjusting to the talent that he has and to forming his offense around what those players do best. And that's something that you and I have been begging for years.
100%. Now,
and something that no other coach that's been hired has said that they were going to do.
Or tried to do.
I mean, Frank Reich very clearly came in here and tried to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yes.
Just jamming it down there, and it just wasn't working. And it would never adjust, would never try anything differently. And it came out in interviews after games and said, no, this is the scheme I run. This is what I'm comfortable with. This is what we're going to do. And it's eventually going to work. And it never worked.
Yeah.
Right?
The no motion, always in a hot shotgun. Yeah. So horrible. Now, I will say I have gone back to Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith and Russell Wilson's years with Dave Canales. For the most part, it does look like he does about a quarter of play action, which is not that much, but, you know, better. The only caveat is with Russell Wilson, he did do more play action. Again, it's kind of hard to tell 100% just because Canales was not offensive coordinator in Seattle.
Sure. But Geno Smith, not a great mobile quarterback. Baker Mayfield, not a great mobile quarterback. Bryce Young, I think, would be more mobile than both of those guys.
Yeah, if they want to keep him mobile, which I think you need to. Yeah. I think you need to get that threat of him running. I mean, you could teach him to slide. I mean, even if he gets 4 or 5, it adds an ability there that...
Yeah, we're not asking him to be Lamar Jackson, but just rolling out is... It's just good for a young quarterback.
Yeah.
It gives him more time to make decisions.
Yeah. Steve Young wasn't a running quarterback, but
right.
That back in the day was such a groundbreaking type of ability.
Yeah. Dave Canales also spoke very highly of Bryce Young. Said that as he was going through the interview process, he was looking at tape and looking back at his own evaluations of Bryce Young when he was in college coming into the draft. And he said he was just getting really, really excited about the prospect of working for this guy, a guy that he says is definitely a franchise quarterback. I mean, again, nothing has been shown on the field, obviously, and it's going to take some time. This is not a good roster right now.
No.
But I'm optimistic. I do think it's just a different type of hire than what we've seen David Tepper do before. For both of these guys, although I guess the Dan Morgan hire and the Scott Fitterer hire, maybe not that different.
Yeah, I was going to say that was pretty.
Both kind of coming from the same, stock.
Coaching tree.
Essentially.
GM tree. Office.
Whatever you want to call it. Although, Dan Morgan also worked with Brandon Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Another, head coach, GM duo that worked together, in a previous location and had success.
Because McDermott was there. Then they fired their GM shortly after the draft, I believe. And then swiped in and grabbed Brandon Bean. And then we fired Gettleman and Right, like a month or two later.
A comedy of errors on our part there, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, just that the synergy, the alignment, as was said 1,000 times in the press conferences today. Well, you know, one of the things I didn't like was just the buzzwords. You know, I hate the coaching buzzwords. I can't stand them. And Dave Canales is just a thesaurus of coaching buzzwords. Like, that's, you know, he could have a whole, he could write a whole book about coaching buzzwords instead of the other book he wrote. But
I will say a positive. It does seem like Dave Canales, all his players love him. The former players that worked with him and everything else, they love him. They glow about him. And yes, great, he's a good guy. But it also speaks volumes about, because every person I said is he's very intricate. He knows little things. He speaks little things.
Detail oriented, yeah.
Like, he wants his quarterbacks to get the ball out within 2.7 seconds. Like, that's just kind of a rule that he has. Like, you get it out that fast, there's going to be less problems. So,
yeah. I love that. Things, yeah, one of the things he mentioned, you know, he seems like a guy who's very analytics focused, right? He said, if you're plus one in turnovers, you win 82% of the time. You know, that's an important thing. Take care of the ball.
That's true.
Get the ball out on defense, and, you know, more often than not, you're going to win. So, you know, again, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. I don't see any reason to be negative about it. You know, it's going to do nothing but make you upset, right?
I feel like this is the same way last year at this time, when we hired Frank Reich, I was upset, but then I kind of like flipped my head and was like, okay, this could work. Okay. Yeah. And this year I did the same thing, except I'm not flipping my head. They need to prove me wrong. They need to prove me wrong, because these hires look like yes men to David Tepper in my eyes.
You keep saying that, but what gives you that impression?
Because neither one of these guys was coveted. Neither one of these guys... Like,
Dan Morgan was very highly thought. I mean, I don't know that he had gotten a GM job this year, but I think within the next 2 or 3 years, he certainly would. And I feel like Dave Canales is probably on the same path.
It depends on where he would have went. Canales, I agree that if he would have done another good year in Tampa, he probably would have been a coaching candidate.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, the coach of the Dolphins was the only guy that interviewed. He only interviewed with the Dolphins. Nobody else interviewed him. That turned out to be all
right. Yeah.
That's worked out. A young coach, offensive, a little weird. It reminds me of that.
I say prove me wrong. I want to be proven wrong. I am not jumping the fence on this. I will be cheering for these guys to make the right plays and decisions. And honestly, the interview today calmed me down a little bit, because the way Canales kept talking about molding an offense to what you have. I do really believe that is something that needs to happen. And I've always thought that's how you play, or how a coach should coach.
And, you know, the Bucs have poor rushing stats last year, but I also don't think they have any good running backs. I am not high on White at all as a running back. I don't think he's good. And they didn't have anybody behind him.
Yeah,
we have Chuba. And Sanders, who didn't look good last year, but, you know, we've seen Sanders have success before. And if Canales is a guy that's going to play to the strengths of his players, then I bet you that offensive line is going to look very different next year in terms of how they play and their scheme than what Frank Reich was trying to do.
Yeah. Now, it does look like he runs a lot of zone schemes in Tampa Bay, but that may change here in Carolina, because our guys aren't zone guys. That being said, I also think they have a lot better O-line than us for keeping a quarterback clean.
Definitely. And that's, you know, that's going to be on Dan Morgan to improve. Yeah, I mean, that if I was going to start anywhere, yeah, you could say wide receiver, you could say running back, you could say linebacker. I'm starting offensive line.
I would too. I would go to Canales, say, watch the tape on these guys. What can we do? Do we need to go get a new left tackle? Do we need to go get another guard? A different scheme? You know,
different center.
Can you make this work? Or do I need to go get somebody? That would be number one.
Yeah. Pass rusher. Because, I mean, there's a lot of needs on this. There's a lot of needs on this team. There really is. And I hope, you know, last year we got fed a bill of goods, right? We got told that this was a team ready to compete. They were a quarterback away. That was obviously not the case. I didn't hear any of that this year. Haven't heard any of that from what these guys are saying. And I think that's because we all know next year, probably going to be a little rough.
It's going to be a little rough. It really depends on what Canales can do offensively. Evero, it sounds like, is going to stick around, which is a negative in my opinion, just because when they asked him, it didn't seem like Dave Canales has talked to Evero yet.
I certainly think it's a positive that Evero is going to be here.
He's going to be here, but it felt like a negative that I feel like it was forced on him. In that we talked about the infighting last year.
Well, he seemed excited about it. I mean, he seemed excited about Evero being, and that may just be that Evero, you know, he's been interviewing for other jobs. Maybe he hasn't wanted to invest the time to, you know, to get to know this guy if he's not going to be here. It seems like now he's going to be here. There are still a few DC jobs open, but the Panthers have
blocked everything. All the DC jobs.
True, but they could still hire him. They could trade for him. You know, there's ways that he could go, but it seems like Evero's going to be here.
Yeah. But there's
no reason that he shouldn't be here. In my opinion.
This was one of my things I wish these guys, the press, would have asked: was Evero forced on you, or was it? Maybe not. I wouldn't say it forced because of the simple fact that he's obviously going to say, no, I want him.
Sure.
Then, like, was that a caveat of being hired to consider Evero here? Or, you know, just because they did that last year with Chris Tabor. By the way, he's gone. And
Chris Tabor gone, Thomas Brown gone, yeah. James Campen gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Tabor. All the offense. Thank you for all the special teams because honestly, that's been the one happy spot.
I wish Tabor would have stayed. I thought of all the people, he was the one that I was hoping would stay. But just because the special teams has been good, and he is so well liked.
Oh yeah.
By the players and, you know, just everybody. But obviously Canales and Tabor may have said, you know, this is now the third regime that I'm going to be under. No thanks. Like, let me lose. But, you know, I hope Evero does come back. I hope he buys in. I hope he gets a head coaching job next season, right?
I do too.
And, you know, we get a couple of third-round picks out of it. But it's as long as Evero is not, you know, jaded or upset that he didn't get the job or that as long as he doesn't feel like he's being forced to come back against his will.
That's my fear.
I think it's going to work out, but absolutely. Absolutely. But he, you know, he is under contract, and that's just kind of the way things are.
Yeah.
He won't be the first, and he won't be the last.
I think if I was Dave Canales in Dan Morgan, one of my first calls after it was sent out would have been to Evero. Been like,
we don't know that's not the case. I don't know that they haven't spoken.
You're 100% right. We don't know.
Yeah.
But that would have been one of my calls. If that was one of the caveats of, hey, we got to keep this guy. Because Evero's a good coordinator. There's not a question about that. I mean, Dave Canales said, you know, going up against Carolina was one of the toughest things. Sure. I mean, scored 9 points in the second game.
Yeah.
I mean,
still won.
Yeah, yeah but...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I think Evero is the right choice to be DC. I don't know who they could have gotten that was going to be better. I don't know that a condition of Canalis' employment was that Evero is your DC. I think, at least I hope, that the discussion was, hey, we've got this guy under contract. He's widely considered to be an up-and-comer, one of the best defensive minds in the game right now.
Look what he did.
He's here if you want to use him. And Canalis is like, well, I'm an offensive guy. He's a defensive guy. That sounds good to me. Like, you know, who else is Canalis going to bring in? Like, he doesn't.
Only someone from the Seattle regime for Pete Carroll would be my only guess.
Or Tampa. I mean, I guess he.
Yeah, he did bring everybody from Tampa here. So
yeah.
Not too happy about that.
Well, yeah.
The run game coordinator's coming here. You know, the guy who led the league, 32nd in the league.
Yeah. Some of the staff has been a bit uninspired. But again, and I will say that when the news first dropped, like you, I was underwhelmed. Right? Like, of all the head coaches, candidates that were out there, he wasn't even on our radar. He wasn't, like, had we gone through and done our coaching bios like we did the previous year, we wouldn't have done him. We didn't do Frank Reich. We wouldn't have done him. And once Ben Johnson made it clear he wasn't coming here, or it seems anywhere, Slowick, I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he just decided he wasn't ready or if he didn't impress in interviews. I don't know.
That's what probably happened. I mean, I don't have the insider track, but it did seem like he wasn't getting those second interviews that often.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, hey, maybe I need to just go back, take a year off, or not take a year off, but go back to familiarity, maybe work on it with D'Amico a little bit more. And I think Ben Johnson did that, and hats off to him for last year, because there's certain jobs that you get one or two chances at this as a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you're not 100% ready, I think the Ben Johnson route of going back is probably smart.
Ben Johnson is going to be a guy that he's going to be coveted again next year. Mm-hmm. And who knows, you know, Cowboys could be open next year. I mean, there could be plenty of better jobs open next year. You know, I mean, the Patriots were open, but they weren't really open. The Raiders kind of hired their guy. The Chargers, everyone knew Harbaugh was going to go there, right?
I mean, yeah, Seattle. After he got that interview, and it was like, I mean, in the Spanos family, to my surprise, actually forked over money for him, which is impressive.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like they, you know, I think that was desperation as much as anything. Like, we have to make this work somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
No one's coming to the games in L.A.
Right.
And we're halfway decent. Let's get an actually contender. Maybe they'll come.
You know, and then we've got, Atlanta hires Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
And, you know, TBD there. I like Raheem Morris, but you were telling me earlier that his coordinators might not have been good hires. So
it looks sketchy. Like, he didn't have a plan of actually getting hired.
Yeah.
And that scares me, because I like Raheem Morris. I've heard him in interviews and stuff like that. He seems like a really fun, cool guy. I mean, obviously he's playing for the Atlanta Falcons, and I want him to get fired now.
Of course, now we hate him, but we liked him before. You know, Washington hires Dan Quinn out of nowhere.
God, that hurts.
That feels so much like us hiring Frank Reich last year.
Yes.
Honestly, that feels so much like that. Like, you didn't get who you really wanted, Ben Johnson, which was exactly what we wanted last year. So you take the retread older head coach that, you know, has had varying success.
Does he not feel like Ron Rivera?
Yeah, I don't know that they upgraded at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
I mean, Ron Rivera ran his course, but, you know, I saw that he's going to be interviewing with Dallas for their DC job.
He would be great for that.
They're basically just swapping.
He would be good for that for them there.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Was it Callahan in Tennessee? I like that. The Cincinnati OC. I like that hire for them. That felt
good. And then Seattle, is it McDonald?
McDonald, yeah, defensive coordinator from Baltimore. Like that hire, too. So.
Yep. And it seemed like, you know, the Panthers were definitely going to go offensive. I was hoping that they would give, you know, Vrabel a look and Belichick a look.
Vrabel's interview seems like a maneuver to get Canales under contract.
What a weird thing that was. It's out, you know, hours after they interview Vrabel.
Yeah.
The news comes out. So, yeah, that seemed very calculated. If I was Vrabel, I would not feel great about that, but
yeah,
whatever. But, you know, Vrabel doesn't get a job. Belichick doesn't get a job. Pete Carroll doesn't get a job. Ben Johnson doesn't take a job.
I will say this, how much I love Pete Carroll. He is like, 78 years old?
He's old.
So
he's got the energy of a 50-year-old.
I'm telling you right now, if we can bring him into some sort of mentorship role, I would absolutely love it.
I don't see it happening, but it would be great.
Yeah.
It would be great. All right. I don't know. We're kind of running out of time here. Any final thoughts?
What would you give each grade for?
I don't know. It's so hard to grade them.
Hey, we grade draft picks right after, so I mean.
I know. I mean, if I would have to go maybe a C+ for Dan Morgan, just because I would probably go C+ for both, honestly, just because of the unknown and because of who else was available. Dan Morgan, maybe I'd go B, just because I do think he was very highly thought of and could be a good. He doesn't get an A because he is from the previous regime that, you know, sucked. Although there were some good decisions made. But Canales, I'm going to go C for Canales just because I don't know.
All right. I am going to go D+ for Dan Morgan. I don't like the stink of the previous regime. I seriously don't. And if you're in that room and you made some of those... you weren't banging the table for some of those decisions. Just, I don't know. I will go C- on, Canales.
Dave Canales.
There we go. I was going to call him Callahan. Sorry.
Yeah.
The only reason why he's a C- is mostly because he's such an unknown. Only 1 year as an offensive coordinator and stuff like that. And his 1 year wasn't that great, honestly. But,
yeah.
It's to fix Bryce Young.
Let me call you right back.
Okay. And we're back for Steven's one last point.
All right. So you mentioned that, that Dan Morgan was part of the previous regime, as we all know, and that he was in the room making those decisions. There is video evidence showing Dan Morgan sitting at the draft table looking extremely unhappy about the third round pick this year, whose name escapes me.
It's okay. The team's roster when they're playing.
CJ Johnson or something? DJ Johnson. He looked confused. He looked unhappy. And that's why I really wonder how much say he actually had. Because go back and watch the clip. It's all over the place. Easy to find. He does not look. He looks confused and unhappy about that pick. And to me, that gives me some confidence that at least he wouldn't have made that decision. to trade up for a guy that they probably could have gotten in the fourth round. They shouldn't have taken it all. But, you know, one of the things he mentioned was, you know, good character guys he wants to bring in. That tells me they definitely wouldn't have taken that guy just because of what we saw in college from him, right? I really think we're going to see a different methodology when it comes to bringing players in. I'm not going to hold it against Dan Morgan because he happened to work for Scott Fitterer for a couple of years. I don't think he was brought in until 2001. So he was really only with the team for a couple of years. I think, I don't know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves. And here's the thing. You're hoping they prove you wrong. I'm also hoping they don't prove me wrong. Right. I'm hoping they prove me right.
Prove because I'm just, me I just, wrong.
I feel like that, I don't know. I just have hope.
I am not getting on that hope train. I do not want to hurt myself. My feelings have been hurt by that panther behind you way too many times.
Okay. So what are we going to talk about for the next couple of months?
I mean, I'm going to hope to build the roster good. We're going to talk about things.
I mean as everything about, every player they bring in, you're going to be like, well, he's probably going to suck
because Dan Morgan brought him in. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I look at both sides of the coin. I just looked at Dave Canales on both sides of the coin saying, hey, he did, you know, work well, but.
But yeah. Everything was but. Yeah. Everything that you said, every positive was with a caveat.
Because this is a big caveats on all these guys. It's not like you go.
But there's caveats on anybody we would have hired.
We didn't even look at, like, Harbaugh.
No, I wish we would have.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I would have been happy.
That's why I'm saying this, if you're, like, more yes guys, that guys that Tepper could still control.
I mean, they interviewed 12 candidates or something for head coach. They talked to a lot of guys. I mean, had they hired anybody, would you have said that that was just a yes man? If it wouldn't have been like a former head coach? Any of these new guys?
I think there's been a few guys that I would not have said it's a yes guy. The biggest problem I also have is it was like a Dan Morgan, Canales. All of a sudden, Dan Morgan and Canales are like, oh yeah, they're the guys. Like, and then a week and a half later, it's proven. And it's like, where the heck did these guys come from? Like Dan Morgan, like, yeah, he was on this team like as assistant GM, but
I mean that one seemed almost set in stone from the beginning.
Which I don't
understand. That one wasn't a surprise. Yeah. And again, you know, I have hope. I like Dan Morgan. He's put in the work. He's put in the time, right? He's been with successful organizations. This is the first organization he's been with that has not been successful with him, right?
And this is the first organization where he had more of a leadership role in the front office.
What wasn't he? He was at the same.
No, he was an assistant GM in Buffalo. I think he was like a scout leader or something else. I don't know what they're called.
A scout leader. I don't think they're called that.
Yeah, he was a scout leader or an Eagle Scout, whatever they're called. he was troop a leader, director of player personnel.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty high up role. I think bringing in Tillis to help him out was an extremely smart move. I think that his role is going to be very similar to what it was there. Like, he's going to be out finding these guys, looking at these guys, and then Tillis is going to be the one to say, we can make it work or we can't make it work in terms of salary, right? Yep. So, I like the partnership there. I like that they're modeling the franchise after successful franchises, right? I don't know. Things were done differently this time, and to me, that can only be positive.
With any Tepper decision, I will doubt it until I'm proven wrong.
He did mention to some reporter that he was going to be stepping back from.
I'll believe it when I don't see him. What he has been doing. I'll believe it when I don't see him.
I mean, he's been very quiet.
Maybe he got humbled for being a horrible owner and being called out for it by everybody.
Yeah. I didn't like that Dan Morgan just said that they were going to be daily meetings with ownership and stuff. I'm like, man, come on.
Yeah. Come on, David. All right, I got to go say goodnight to my little girl as her birthday is tomorrow and she is going to bed. Any last
words? Yes. I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. You know, again, I'm optimistic. We'll see what happens, but I don't see any point in being just really upset about it because there's nothing we can do about it. So
I'm not upset. I'm not kicking over cans anymore.
Anymore? That's because all the cans are gone.
Yeah. We want to thank everyone for listening. If you like the show, please let your friends know. Please follow us on Twitter at MailMakesPodcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at mailbag@mailmakespodcast.com. Leave us a 5-star review with a comment on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube. We'll be back again.
We'll be back again. When? Who knows? But, you know, we'll try not to take another month.
Yeah.
Until then, everybody stay safe out there and keep outing.